Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, San Diego? Happy end of November to you. Can't get to the end of 2020 fast enough. We got 1 month to go. Hope everybody had a safe, happy, and as healthy as possible Thanksgiving holiday. Welcome into Gwen and Chris. 3:01 is the time. I'm Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. off today. And tomorrow we have a short show. Matt Scraby is alongside. We're heading towards Monday Night Football and the thrilling matchup, Scraby, between the Seattle Seahawks and the Philadelphia Eagles. At least they can play, unlike the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. That game has now been postponed again until Wednesday, if you were keeping track. Originally it was supposed to be played, what, last Thursday?
Yeah, Thanksgiving night.
Thanksgiving night, yes, right. Yes. And then it was postponed until Sunday morning. And then it was postponed until tomorrow night.
Yes.
And Scraby was getting us ready for a short show tomorrow.
I was. I and was already looking forward to Wednesday.
I don't understand why the National Football League, why don't they check with you on this stuff? You now have to work overtime to book a full four-hour show tomorrow. At last second notice, you were all ready to have a short show tomorrow, they're going to give us a full 4 hours tomorrow. So that's good news for us, but I mean, Scraby has to work overtime and extra hard to get the show ready. And I really think that, you know, if I'm you, I'm really upset with the entire National Football League not checking in with you before they make these decisions.
You don't know how many times I've asked myself that question in the last 3 hours. Because
Why didn't they call me?
Yeah, because I was thinking I was a good producer and I was working ahead on Wednesday. And
yes,
now
you have
I
a big show.
Everything.
You have a big show lined up for Wednesday, but now Wednesday's show is going to be short.
Now, all the guests that I booked are booked during the game.
Right, on Wednesday.
And you
got to move everything back to Tuesday.
I'm going to move all the guests, and then the game's going to get canceled on Wednesday, and then I'm going to be at square one again.
Well, I don't know. Everybody's kind of up in the air. We're all just going along, just kind of making it up as we go along, basically. The National Football League, as powerhouse of an organization as it is just like every other organization out there right now, Scraby. They're making it all up as they go along.
But they're on a much bigger platform.
Yes, of course they are. And you would think that they would have like some possible exceptions and some rules in place for situations like what happened to the Denver Broncos yesterday, where all four of their quarterbacks are deemed ineligible to play. And they end up having to have a backup wide receiver from college who's on their practice squad who hasn't taken a snap. And I got to give a lot of credit to Kendall Hilton.
Me too.
I mean, this kid stood in there behind an offensive line in National Football League game against the number one seed in the NFC, mind you. It wasn't against the Jaguars. It was against the Saints and played. You know, I mean, how many of you really, truly, if the Denver Broncos called you and said, hey, we'd like you to line up at quarterback on Sunday against the Saints, we're going to give you 4 hours to prepare for the game. That's how much time he got.
I know.
That's all they gave him.
It was
four hours to prepare. They gave him 4 hours and about 15 plays.
Yeah.
And they said, go out there and give it your best shot against the Saints.
It was so bad that the Broncos were trying to get clearance from the league to play one of their assistant coaches.
Yes, I know.
Because they didn't have any option at quarterback, which, if you want to talk about leveling the playing field, you've just completely destroyed the chances of the Broncos yesterday by giving them no time to prepare with
they basically gave the Saints who need it an automatic win.
Yeah.
And I'm imagining the Steelers are sitting around as usual. Well, the Steelers have been complaining the entire year, and I'm getting a little tired of their whining. I understand all of their complaining, but I don't want to hear their complaining because we're all going through this together. We're all having to make sacrifices, just like you.
That's true.
You've got to make a full show tomorrow, and when you would scheduled for a short show, and everybody's got to make alterations every single day of their life now, and sacrifices every single day and night of their life.
I'm over it.
And the government continues to come up with new stipulations and things, and it's very difficult to keep track of what's right and what's real and what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. And the NFL is no different, but yeah, I don't understand why the Broncos basically have to, forfeit a game to the Saints, but the Ravens, who've had 18 different people test positive, haven't had to forfeit this game to the Steelers yet.
They haven't had to forfeit it, and
eventually when they play, if they do play, it's going to go into the books as a real game, but it's going to be like a Denver forfeit because there's no chance Baltimore's going to have with nobody healthy to play the game. I mean, absolutely every one of their key players is injured. So the Steelers, who are trying to steamroll towards a historic undefeated season, are basically going to get a bye right in the middle of their schedule against the Baltimore Ravens. But anyway, that game is now on Wednesday, and so be it. And so this whole COVID-19 2020 year of agony continues.
I was just about to say.
It's all it is. It's been the toughest year of our lives for, not me and you, everybody's life.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I don't want to be Mr. Negative, but I'm good at it. All of the people who are just can't wait for 2021.
There's no guarantee.
I hate to break the news to you, but on January 1st, 2021, they're not just going to lift all the restrictions and go back to life as normal.
We've still got
a long way to go.
Let's just get
before
there.
We can ever get back to some sort of semblance of real life.
I was thinking earlier today, I was like,
well, that's scary in and of itself.
Yeah, just thinking in general. But I was thinking, I've been really good throughout this whole pandemic, and I've been trying hard to keep it together, but I'm ready to lose it.
I'm ready to lose it. Look, it's like the old when you go up to somebody and you're trying to buy something and they say, well, it's not for sale.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you say to them, no, everything has a price.
Yeah.
Right? If I keep upping the ante, you're eventually gonna say yes. It's the same thing, I think, with this COVID-19 thing. Some of us broke months and months ago. Like in March, we broke. Some of us hung out into the summer and then we broke down.
Yeah.
Some of us hung out until fall and then we broke down. Some of us haven't broken down yet.
Some of us
are hanging in there.
But now
we're getting really, really close.
By thread.
We're all getting a lot closer. All right. We will keep you updated on any COVID-19 related stories, but that is the latest on the Ravens-Steelers game, postponed for now until Wednesday. Aztec basketball fans, you should be ecstatic today. Instead, you're furious. They're already applauding furious. Thank you. Aztec basketball fans are furious with the Associated Press and the people who rank the college basketball teams because the Aztecs were very impressive in two victories, one over 22nd ranked UCLA, which probably shouldn't have been ranked, and UC Irvine, the defending Big West Conference champion. And the Aztecs, I'm telling you, I'm very impressed. They look fantastic. They look as deep as they've ever been. They look like they can go 9 players, maybe 10 players deep. And it's not like they don't have bad players at the top of that either. Matt Mitchell was named the player of the week this year in the Mountain West Conference. Congratulations to Matt. And of course, Jordan Shackle and Mensah and Arope looks a lot better this year. And Keyshawn Johnson comes off the bench the other night, and he looks like a sensational player. And Tomiak, the guy they got from Maryland, looks like a steal in the transfer portal. And Terrell Gomez with the quick-release three-point shot, the self-proclaimed best shooter in the nation. Every time he misses a shot, I kind of get mad at him. I'm like, Terrell, come on, you said you were the best shooter in the nation.
Yeah, go back to our interview with him. I think it was last week?
A week and a half ago. Yeah. But look, this is a deep team, and Brian Dutcher has them playing great defense already, and the program is just so solid. So the Aztecs probably should be ranked. But I will say this. They're not. They're ranked number 27 if it were. They're getting receiving votes, and that's why everybody's upset and furious. But I'm just going to say this as an aside. The Aztec football team, after two games this season, after they beat UNLV and ran 400 yards all over Utah State, didn't every Aztec fan say, well, their football team should be ranked. This is ridiculous. How are we not ranked?
Yes.
Right? We're 2-0. We look good. We're dominating. We had 400 yards rushing. We're running over everybody. We got one of the best defenses in the country.
Come at me, bro.
Yeah. Come on. We should be ranked. Well, I don't think anybody's saying that anymore. So I'm not saying that's going to happen to the basketball team. What I'm saying is it's a good start for the basketball team. It's two games. You got a couple of chippies this week against St. Catherine's College.
Wait, explain to me where this college is from.
St. Catherine's College
in this area.
I believe St. Catherine's College, I believe, is in Ben Higgins' backyard in Encinitas somewhere.
I was going to say.
I think it is. I really do. Ask Ben Higgins. I think it's right down the street from where he lives. So they're going to play them. They're going to play San Diego Christian College. So honestly, even though the Aztecs will be 4-0, they're probably not going to be ranked next week either. So what it's going to come down to is a December 10th game, which is a week from Wednesday or Thursday. They're going to play at Arizona State, and Arizona State's in the top 20. And if they beat them, then they'll be ranked. So don't worry about it. They're going to get a chance to prove that they deserve to be ranked. They should probably be ranked right now, but it really isn't that big of a deal. I'm not going to worry about it. Great start, though. Really enjoyed the UCLA. You got to understand, Scraby, I grew up in L.A. and watching John Wooden's teams, and to see the Aztecs just pummel UCLA, I mean, the baby blue uniforms and the UCLA, I mean, there's still tradition there that is almost unmatched in college basketball. I know Kansas and Duke and Kentucky and Indiana.
They just have a look.
But UCLA, it's still UCLA, and the Aztecs toyed with them. Absolutely toyed with them in the second half. It was fantastic. In fact, I was talking to somebody from outside of Southern California the other day, and I said we were talking about college basketball, and I can't remember who I was talking with, and the gentleman said, "How's the local team here doing?" And I said, "Well, they're not ranked. They opened up against UCLA the other night," and he said, "Oh, how bad they lose by."
That's what he first thought?
Yeah, that was the first thought. And I said, no. It would have been an upset if the Aztecs lost.
Yeah.
You don't understand.
Yeah.
The Aztecs are by far the better program than UCLA now. It's not even really a contest. I mean, when you consider what the Aztecs have done against teams in the state of California and the way they've dominated the Pac-12 opposition and an amazing – Scraby, this record's unbelievable. Over the last 10 years or so at home – they're now 162-22.
Wow.
That is just absolutely mind-boggling. And I tweeted that out the other morning after they beat UC Irvine. And a lot of people were, you know, happy to see that stat. I got a lot of likes and people were pleased with me, except for one guy. There's always one thorn in the side tweet that comes back. And my tweet said, over the last handful of seasons, the Aztecs are 162-22 at home.
Okay.
And the guy goes, handful? Well, if that's a handful, they would be averaging 37 home games a year. It's more like two hands full. I'm like, oh, brother.
Wait a second. He's taking
taking me literally.
I don't think a handful is an actual measurement.
Unbelievable. I mean, you can't please all the people
that's
all the time.
Though.
I've learned that.
I appreciate that guy.
Yeah, it sounded kind of like you, actually. I know it wasn't from you, but it sounded like something you would come up with. So Aztec basketball, fantastic start to the season. No question about it. 2-0, they'll be 4-0, and then they'll get their shot at Arizona State. And if they're not ranked after that, believe me, then we'll all go crazy and go bananas, because that will definitely be a slap in the face. We mentioned Matt Mitchell, Mountain West Conference Player of the Week on the men's side, and friend of the show and guest of the show just a couple of weeks ago, Sophia Ramos, won that same honor on the women's side today. So congratulations to Sophia. We like having Mountain West Conference Players of the Week on this program. We've had Matt Mitchell on this show before, too, but Sophia Ramos won it for the women's side. So it was a good week for San Diego State basketball, despite the fact that the rankings didn't agree. Not so much for the football team. We'll talk about their problems when we come back, and some other things going on in the National Football League, including this Denver Bronco quarterback situation, this Ravens-Steelers game, and Kyle Shanahan, your favorite head coach, Matt Scraby, is upset. And because he's upset, that means I get to be upset at him, and
what?
You'll have your chance to defend him.
Why are you upset him. With him?
I'll tell you when we come back. I will tell you when we come back. So we'll get into that. The NFL week number 12 recap. There were a bunch of games that actually were played. It's coming up at 3:30 today. We'll have the good, the bad, and the ugly from week 12 of the NFL, along with all of the highlights. So that's still ahead as well. So a lot to get to. Short time to get to all of it between now and 4:30 and Monday Night Football. I'm Chris Ello. That's Matt Scraby in for Tony Gwynn Jr., who is off today. And we are hanging out with you and Gwynn and Chris on Southern California's number one sports talk station. All right, away we go at 3:22. Welcome back to the program, Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. off today, and Matt Scraby sitting in as we hang out until 4:30. We do have kickoff Monday Night Football shortly after 5 tonight as the Eagles take on the Seattle Seahawks. And no game tomorrow night now, as the Ravens and Steelers has been pushed back till Wednesday. I don't know how much more they can push it back. I mean, eventually they're going to just have to call it a day.
I know this is an unpopular opinion, because I said this to my family and they said, you are an unpopular. That is an unpopular opinion, but they should have just played the game on Thursday. They would have got the game in on Thursday.
I honestly don't know that that's an unpopular opinion.
It
right
is
now.
Because of all the COVID that they had going on, that it was unsafe for them
now
to
they
play.
Have way more COVID going
that's
on.
That's what I'm saying.
So now they're going to play it under even unsafer conditions.
Yeah, but they can't risk the Steelers getting it and then it blowing up and it
yeah,
really
I understand.
Being bad.
I understand. Well, the other thing is the game, if they play Wednesday, and we're talking too much about this, I don't care this much about it, but the fact is there's a game the week after. There's another game beyond that, and they'll have
well, they're originally scheduled for Thursday to play the Cowboys.
Yes, right. The Ravens are going to play well, they might as well.
They might as well go Wednesday, Thursday.
Just go Wednesday, Thursday, get both losses out of the way, and then move on. Yeah, because they're originally scheduled Thursday for the Cowboys. That's obviously been moved back. But the Steelers also have another game to play, right?
And that's
going to
be moved
weekend.
Back, apparently, to Monday against the Washington football team.
Is that what's going to be moved back? So they're going to have, like, more games on Monday next week than they are on Sunday?
They're trying so hard to convenience the Ravens that they're inconveniencing everyone else.
Yeah, they're trying so hard just to get the season finished. I'm telling you what, I think it's a miracle that they've gotten this far. And I think it's going to take another miracle to finish it up. I don't know that the NFL is going to make it. I mean, the spike in COVID cases is just out of control right now. And, you know, it's hitting the National Football League as hard as you thought it might hit it. And college football has been suffering with it all year long. Speaking of college football, the Aztecs, let's start by giving them some credit where it's due.
Absolutely.
They accepted a game against Pac-12 team that's probably better than they are to mm-hmm. begin with in Colorado. Yeah. And they played them with short prep time. They only had a couple of days to get ready for this game. And then they had to play them without their starting quarterback and without their starting running back. And it was pretty clear, if you watched any of the Aztec football game on Saturday, which I did, that they had no chance to win that game. They just had no chance to win that game. They had their offense was almost Denver Bronco like without a quarterback.
It's hard to watch.
And I don't know, you know, what has happened to Carson Baker. Remember, this is a young man from Helix High School whose first college start last year, he beat BYU at the end of the season. Then he won the starting quarterback job this year and won the first two games he played this year. Was he brilliant? No, but he was certainly more than serviceable in all of those games. Good enough to where they had to respect his passing so that the Aztecs could run for 200 yards, 300 yards, 400 yards. All of a sudden now Carson Baker can't get out of his own way. So they had to take him out of the game the other day. And they bring in the other kid, Brookshire, who's in his fourth, the number four guy on the list. And he can't complete a pass. I mean, he just can't throw. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Brookshire, I think I said it right. Jordan Brookshire. He was 7 for 19 for 50 yards, but I don't even know where he got those 50 yards from. He must have got them in garbage time at the very end. But he missed so many wide open receivers and just didn't have the ability to connect. And I know it takes practice time. And so I don't want to pick on the kids at all. The Aztecs showed up. Their defense hung in there despite being really undisciplined. And that was the thing that bothered me, was the undisciplined part of it. There was at least five times in that game where the Aztec defense was off the field, except for a penalty, kept the Colorado drive alive. And you just can't do that. Colorado, I beg your pardon, got four first downs by penalty in that game. And it seemed like it was every time it was third and long and the Aztecs would rough the passer, or they would commit a holding penalty on defense or pass interference or something. And Aztec football, one of the things that has changed in the last decade under Rocky Long, and even before that, started to change with Brady Hoke, was the fact that they didn't make those silly little mistakes that drive you crazy. And now this year's team all of a sudden is doing it every single game. They should have beaten San Jose State. They turned the ball over with three huge mistakes in the fourth quarter and let that game get away. They should have beaten Nevada. They couldn't complete the last 5 yards of that touchdown drive. They had no chance to beat Colorado. But you know what? The fact was they hung in there, and it was still 17-10 with a chance in the fourth quarter despite everything that was going on with their offense. So the one thing that San Diego State football's got to get cleaned up is the discipline. That is just that doesn't matter who your players are. That just means that the players that are playing have to do a better job. And Brady Hoke has to start demanding that. Either that or you're not going to be able to play.
I had a high school football coach who told us one time after we lost because we made stupid mistakes. He said, teams that make stupid mistakes are bad teams. So if you want to be a bad team, keep making those mistakes.
That's what makes you a bad team, is making stupid mistakes. And they miss a couple of long field goals, but they missed them. If they make those, they got a chance perhaps to be closer in the fourth quarter. So I give the Aztecs some credit, but it was really difficult to watch against Colorado on Saturday. What was amazing, though, we congratulate Sarah Fuller, the young lady kicker for Vanderbilt, for becoming the first female ever to play in a Power 5 football game, college football game. Goalkeeper on the soccer team, kicked off for Vanderbilt. Now, they got shut out 41-0, so she only got a chance to kick off one time.
I really wanted to see
That's too bad. Of course you did. And the thing was is everybody has talked to Vanderbilt about. Now, Vanderbilt's coach got fired yesterday.
I did see that.
Their head coach. This had nothing to do with Sarah Fuller,
no.
At least as far as I can tell.
No.
But everybody at Vanderbilt said she was the best option with all of the COVID situations. Give her a lot of credit to go out there in a college football game and break the ice and go out there and play. I know there's some people that are saying, oh, it was just a publicity stunt. Well, it wasn't that for her, I'll tell you that. And I'll tell you another thing. Everybody on Vanderbilt has said she was the best option we had. So why don't you stop with the negativity on that one? Not you, Scraby,
but everybody
out there.
I actually don't have a problem with it.
And give the young lady some credit, man. She broke new ground. She accomplished something remarkable. ESPN Saturday night opened SportsCenter with an interview with her. I thought it was very nice. I thought it was very well done. And she seemed like a terrific lady. I think to just even accept the challenge of doing that, I mean, with all of the eyes of every woman sports fan in America on you, How difficult would that have been?
Yeah, and for people who say it's a publicity stunt, why would they be wanting to publicize that they're such a terrible team by getting beat 41-0?
Yeah.
It wasn't a publicity stunt.
No, it wasn't. She was the best option they had, and I congratulate her 100%, and I think it's a great step forward for women in sports. I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't want to go out on a college football field under any circumstances.
I'll do it.
You would?
Yeah, why not?
You're a big, tough guy.
I am a kicker.
I'm a big, wimpy guy. So I would not want to go out on the field under any circumstances. The way these players hit each other.
Yeah, knowing our luck, we would get the guy who would return the kick, and then we're the only person
what happens
between
if,
the end
what
zone
if you're
and
the
them.
Last, if you're the last line
just
of defense?
Run over.
Yeah, forget it. My goodness. I think Sarah Fuller and I think Kendall Hilton, the kid who played quarterback for Denver, are the most underrated athletes of the weekend. And I give them my undying support, and I'm very proud of both of those athletes. I mean, for standing in there and playing against the New Orleans Saints, a quarterback with 4 hours to prepare, that's a remarkable achievement, even though obviously the Broncos did not do much in that game. All right, speaking of the NFL, we will – oh, there was one other college football that we had to mention. I had to mention this. Buffalo University. That's where the Bears linebacker.
Khalil Mack
went. He went to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Their running back, Jared Patterson, 409 yards rushing against Kent State.
Nice.
And 8 touchdowns.
8?
And they weren't all one-yard plunges either. I mean, I saw the highlights. There were 40-yard runs. There were 60-yard runs. There were 35-yard runs. There was runs he made people miss. There were runs he didn't have to make anybody miss. He did it all. And just for fun, Scraby, I know that they don't do fantasy football in college, or maybe some places they do. 409 yards and 8 touchdowns, that's 98.9 fantasy points.
Oh, that's nothing. I went up against Tyreek Hill this weekend, so I know exactly how that feels.
You did go up against Tyreek Hill this year. That was just ridiculous. We'll talk about that to lead off our breakdown of the good, the bad, and the ugly week 12 of the National Football League when we come back. Crisello, Matt Scraby sitting in as Tony Gwynn takes today off. A short program. We're here for another hour. Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Scraby, a little NFL music to get us rolling here for our good, bad, and ugly week 12 of the National Football League. We always start with the good, and this week that means the Kansas City Chiefs. And Patrick Mahomes, who throws for 462 yards, still nearly 100 yards short of Norm Van Brocklin's all-time record, which was set
in
1951.
Insane. Yeah, now that you say that, that is crazy that he did that way back when.
1951, it was 70 years ago. And that record has not been broken. And you would have thought Patrick Mahomes going to break it. He didn't even
easily
really come close yesterday with as good a game as he had. But Tyreek Hill, 13 catches, averaged over 20 yards a catch, three touchdowns. Scraby's upset because he got 58 fantasy points against Scraby, including this one.
Mahomes has not thrown a pass to Kelce yet, but Kelce threw one to him, which felt incomplete. And now you want a deep ball. Here it is. Two. Hill for the touchdown. 75 yards.
Tyreek Hill was absolutely unstoppable in this game. He had 200 yards receiving and two touchdowns in the first quarter.
Ugh.
He was on pace for an 800-yard game. Tom Brady kind of brought Tampa Bay back in this game in the fourth quarter, but
yeah, because I thought it was more
cosmetic than anything else.
I'm
not impressed with Tom Brady right now at all. And you know, in his seven wins, he's looked good. In his five losses, he's looked terrible. Tampa Bay against a good team doesn't match up. And I don't know anybody. Everybody's talking about, boy, this is a possible Super Bowl preview.
No way.
Maybe in like 10 years. But it's not going to be a Super Bowl preview this year.
And not with Tom Brady on the team.
No way Tom Brady's going to the Super Bowl playing like this. I he's just nowhere close.
He's too inconsistent.
He does not look good to me. And that's not a great Kansas City defense either. Let's just put it this way. How did Derek Carr look against Kansas City's defense last week?
He looked amazing.
As opposed to Tom Brady this week. Not even in the same universe.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Kansas City 27, Tampa Bay 24.
One other thing about the Chiefs is they're by far and away the number one offense in the NFL. They can move the ball whenever they want. But they try so hard to be cute, and it's going to hurt them at some point. Like the Travis Kelce pass that we were talking about in the break. It was like a double reverse pass, and Travis Kelce could easily ran it in. But no, he wanted to pass it for the passing touchdown.
He was upset with himself because he knew he made the wrong decision.
Yeah, and the guy just batted it down because it was right into his hands. But
the Chiefs are so good, they can afford to try to have some fun.
I understand
offense.
That. But
other teams can't afford to try to have that kind of fun.
Something is going to happen.
Yeah, we'll see. Didn't happen last year. They're Super Bowl champs. And I think they're better than the Pittsburgh Steelers, although the Steelers are undefeated. We'll see how it all turns out. Also in the good category, you couldn't stop Tyreek Hill catching the ball. The Indianapolis Colts couldn't stop Derrick Henry running it.
A minute 46, Colts out of timeouts. Titans at the 11. Here's Henry on the right side to the 10. Henry to the 5. Henry to the end zone. Touchdown, Titans! That's three for double two, Derrick Henry.
You know, I like Derrick Henry. I like Tannehill. I like Mike Vrabel. I like Tennessee. I think they got a good football team. I hate their announcer. Hate listening
Touchdown,
to that. Hate listening to that guy every Monday. Tennessee rolled it up on Indianapolis. Yeah, him. 45-26. Titans going to first place in the AFC South. Also in the good category, this might be the first time they've been in the good category in like a dozen years. Baker Mayfield throws two touchdowns for the Cleveland Browns.
Chubb in the backfield, Mayfield under center, motion, and Mayfield play action fake. Looks, pumps, throws, Landry caught it! Touchdown! He's in the end zone!
His first of the year.
Touchdown, he's in the end zone? Really?
Yeah.
It's a good place to be to get a touchdown, I guess.
He's in the end zone. They're so surprised.
I know. Jarvis Landry's first touchdown of the year? That is surprising. The reason Cleveland made the good, they're now 8-3 this year.
That is insane.
And with that, they will not have a losing season this year for the first time since 2007.
That deserves a round of applause.
That does deserve a round of applause. Cleveland has had 12 consecutive losing seasons. That's the second longest streak in NFL history. That will come to an end this year, so congratulations to the Browns. That's it for the good category. Oh, well, wait a minute. What's this I see? What's this I see? I see a bonus highlight in the good category. Just so that Scraby can be happy.
Just inside the left hash to win the game. Pepper snap. Wojnowski has it down. Robbie Gould has it straight ahead. And good! The 49ers have beaten the LA Rams again!
We sweep them, baby! We sweep them!
Swept them last year as well.
I don't know why I turned into Dick Vitale there.
Yeah, well, I do, because you're a 49er fan and you're annoying.
That's We're still in it! We're still in it!
You're annoying as a 49er fan. 23-20, 49ers win it. They got some players back. That's one of the main reasons why.
Yeah, they got a lot of players
back. Able to win that
back.
Game. Debo Samuel.
Richard Sherman.
Richard Sherman had a pick. Mostert had a touchdown, so... a little better looking 49er team. But the 49ers are mad, and Kyle Shanahan's all upset because the NFL is making them move. Well, the NFL isn't making them move, but Santa Clara County's making them move a couple of their games coming up because of COVID restrictions in the county. I don't understand what Kyle Shanahan is upset. Does he think he's above everyone else in Santa Clara County?
He's
upset. And that he should be able to play his games there even though they put these restrictions out?
No, he's upset because they didn't really communicate well with them. He was getting on the plane on
Saturday. What, should he get a special phone call from the people that run Santa Clara County?
Well, the people who run Santa Clara County also own the part of the stadium, so they should be able to contact the 49ers.
So they should call Kyle Shanahan ahead of time and tell him what
the
they're planning to do.
The 49ers, not Kyle Shanahan. I also saw something on Twitter that said that the San Diego mayor's office reached out to the 49ers to offer their help, and I'm like, where are they going to play? But now it's being reported that the San Diego mayor's office did not reach out, even though Jed York, the president and owner of the 49ers, said that they did. I don't know.
Jed York can't be trusted.
He can't be trusted. I don't think he's just randomly shouting out the San Diego
mayor. I can't say that the San Diego's mayor's office can be trusted either, so who knows. All right, that's the good. Let's get into the bad from week number 12. We start on Thanksgiving Day in Detroit. Deshaun Watson's performance was so good for the Houston Texans that the result was bad for Matt Patricia.
First down and 15 for the Texans at the Detroit 40-yard line. Watson to the gun. Here's the snap. Deshaun firing deep. And he's got a man. Will Fuller! Touchdown, Houston! Watson deep to Will.
Four touchdowns for Watson. Two of them to the cheating Will Fuller, who was suspended today 6 weeks for PED use.
Don't worry, he didn't know what he was taking.
I'm not worried. I'm just saying he's a cheater, and he's not going to convince me otherwise. Matt Patricia was fired 2 days later after the Texans beat the Lions 41-25. Speaking of bad, though, yesterday, what in the world happened to John Gruden's Las Vegas Raiders? They were a flat-out no-show. Derek Carr fumbled it away three times, threw a pick six. I mean, he was as awful as a quarterback can be for a starting NFL quarterback.
Say,
anyway,
would you rather have the Broncos quarterback?
No, but he was pretty bad, and the Falcons ran all over the Raiders.
Ryan takes the snap. Matt looks, hesitates, throws. Caught! Ridley, back line of the end zone. Touchdown, Atlanta. Ryan took a big shot.
Atlanta Falcons 43 and the Raiders 6. My goodness, when they're after that strong performance by the Raiders against Kansas City. Minnesota and Carolina, this turned out bad for Carolina because Jeremy Chin returned He returned two fumbles for touchdowns in a span of 10 seconds.
I know Red Zone was trying to do the research. They don't think anybody's
ever
done that.
Nobody could possibly have ever done that before. Not in that short amount of time. Yet, despite that, it got away from the Panthers late to the Vikings.
Two receivers left and right. Cousins, back to pass. Fires to the end zone! Yes! Touchdown, Vikings! Chad, baby! Well done! Your first National Football League touchdown has made everybody forget about the Muff, and it's tied the game at 27.
Well, Paul Allen, my old friend, you reminded everybody about the Muff in that call.
Forget about the Muff.
Can't forget about the Muff if you bring up the Muff. Chad Beebe with the touchdown. The Vikings pulled it out. Bad loss for Carolina, man. They were up 12 points, I think, with 5 minutes to go. Let it get away. 28-27.
Do we know what happened with Dalvin Cook?
I didn't hear any reports on Dalvin Cook today.
Me neither.
So apparently he's okay, or at least nothing too serious.
He was jogging in place on the sideline.
All right, that's the bad. Let's get to the ugly. And this wasn't the Denver Broncos' fault, but it was ugly. The NFL did it to them. The Broncos did it to themselves. However you want to look at it. But Kendall Hilton had to play quarterback. The Broncos completed one pass. They threw two interceptions. They had 37 total yards in the first half. And this is the very definition of ugly. Saints took advantage.
Second and goal from the two. Hill out of the gun. Now they run quarterback power, and Taysom Hill walks into the end zone, and there has still not been a team in the NFL has proven they can stop that play down tight, and the Saints go up 13-0 on a two-yard run by Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill, by the way, only passed for 78 yards in the game. It wasn't like he lit it up either, but the Saints didn't need to throw the ball. I mean, all they did was run it, punt it, score a couple of touchdowns, just didn't want to make any mistakes and help Denver out. Denver needed a lot of help, unfortunately, as they come up short 31-3. Speaking of teams that need help, New York Jets could use a little help. They ran into the powerful defense of the Miami Dolphins and that Fitzmagic.
Third down and eighth, the Dolphins 2-4 on third down conversions. Patrick Laird, the running back, back to throw, floats it down, corner of the end zone. Gesicki got it! Touchdown, Miami!
See, that's the way you make a call there. Touchdown, Miami. A nice little excitement. You don't have to lose your mind over it, for heaven's sakes.
Well, he's playing the Jets, so.
God. Jets get a field goal is all. I mean, in this day and age of the NFL, unless you're the Broncos playing with a wide receiver, you should automatically score more than a field goal.
I know the Dolphins are good on defense, but Sam Darnold, he's not a good quarterback.
The Dolphins aren't that good on defense.
Their secondary is better than people give them credit for.
No, but we're going to find out how good the Dolphins are on defense in 2 weeks when they host the Chiefs. Then we'll find out how good on defense they are. By the way, the Jets, 5 games away from a perfect season. They got Raiders, Seahawks, Rams, Browns, Patriots.
Imperfect season.
Yes, I don't see any wins in there. Last on the ugly...
Wait, hold on. We're not going to get away from this.
Go ahead.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
He started the game. He won the game because Tua was out.
Pitched well.
He pitched really well.
pitched well.
He's got to be the guy going forward. He gives the team the best chance to win. What do you think?
You're asking me this with like 2 minutes left in the break, and I don't have enough time.
Okay, let's revisit it on the other side.
We'll revisit it. I think what Brian Flores is doing is the right thing, and he's handling it the right way. But it's nice that the Dolphins can lean back on Fitzmagic if need be. But I think you got to keep going with Tua and see where he takes you. But that's a short answer to your question.
It's a loaded question.
Chicago Bears. We know they have no offense. Aaron Rodgers proved last night that the Bears' defense can be ugly, too.
Rodgers shotgun. Jones to his left. Devontae in motion to the right. And Rodgers fakes the handoff to Jones under pressure. Locks it end zone. Right side. He's got Lazard for the touchdown.
How many people they got in that announcer booth there? It
like
sounded 72. Like a party going on. Yeah. Somebody get the mayor of Wisconsin or Green Bay in there to clear that up. Where are you, Scraby, with your COVID cap?
Oh, that's true. I don't know
These guys
happened.
Are celebrating with like 30 people in the announcer's booth there.
That'd be great if I broke in on the highlight. Guys, there's citations everywhere.
Citations.
In here.
Wayne Larrabee and everybody in the booth. Green Bay 41, Chicago 25. By the way, 5 teams this week allowed 40-plus points. And there's still 3 games left, or 2 games left. So it's hard to play defense in the NFL. Indianapolis allowed 45, Las Vegas allowed 43, the Bears, Lions, and Cowboys all allowed 41.
Oh, my.
So, all right, that's your good, bad, and ugly for Week 12 of the National Football League. Good job, Scraby. Well done.
You too.
Nicely put together. And a nice snappy little highlight package there. I knew you'd be in a good mood because I snuck the 49ers in there.
Well, yeah, when you texted that this morning, it did put me in a great mood.
Yeah,
it did.
I figured that, you know, a little happiness. People out there, they think that all we do is pick on you. They're right, 98.5% of the time.
Yeah, but the other 1.5%.
But the other 1.5% of the time, Tony and I can be very, very nice to Scraby. I think people need to start, you know, taking into account.
Are you defending yourself right now? I'm
trying to defend myself. All right, we got a half an hour to go. No Chris versus the fans today with the short show, so no need to call in today. We'll play tomorrow at 4 o'clock. In the meantime, we'll come back with hour number 2, which is a half an hour next on Gwynn and Chris.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, top of the hour to you. Top of our last half hour on this Monday.
Chris, are we sure?
Yeah. We're not. Okay. NFL has not. The Seahawks and Eagles, as of now, are scheduled to play tonight on Monday Night Football.
Okay, good.
So we
I don't have a show planned.
Huh?
I don't have a show planned if they cancel this
game. Right. If we don't go to Monday Night Football, we're going to be in real trouble. You don't have a show planned for tomorrow either.
No.
So we're going to be in real trouble tomorrow as well, because there is no game tomorrow. Welcome to the program, everybody. Quick update on what's going on. Ravens, Steelers postponed again and again. Supposed to be played tomorrow, now going to be played on Wednesday. And the game time Wednesday is going to be 12:40 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Wednesday afternoon.
Yes.
And that's when it'll kick off. NBC does not want to NBC does not want to play the game at night because it needs to honor its commitment to broadcast the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting ceremony on Wednesday night.
I've seen the tree.
Seen it all now.
It's a very sad looking tree.
Steelers and Washington football team, which was scheduled for next Sunday, will now be played Monday night. And the Ravens-Cowboy game to follow this, which was originally scheduled for Monday night, the Ravens get an extra day. They're going to push it back to Tuesday.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. That's what the reports say, according to Schefter. So the Ravens, who have NFL, I'll tell you one thing. I've been sticking up for the NFL as long as I can on this. But this is getting to be more pro-Ravens by the minute.
It's all pro-Ravens.
Everything is, like, out there to benefit the Ravens. The game was originally scheduled for last Thursday, moved to this Sunday, moved to Monday, moved to Tuesday, now moved to Wednesday, all to accommodate all of the COVID tests that have had come back on the Ravens. But now, instead of their following game being played on a Monday night against the Cowboys, source telling Adam Schefter, that game may now kick off on Tuesday night, December the 8th.
Why?
Give the Ravens an extra day. I don't know.
To get all of their guys back? Because they're already going to get, reports are saying, for this Wednesday game, they're going to get J.K. Dobbins and they're going to get Mark Ingram back.
Because they tested long enough ago?
Since they tested positive. Yeah.
It seems like the NFL is doing everything they can to help the Ravens. All right. You know what? I found that hard to believe at the beginning, But now I have no other choice but to believe it.
My arms are raised in the air because I've been trying to get you to come around to this.
I have no other choice but to believe it. It seems like everything is being scheduled around taking care of the Ravens. I don't quite understand why that has to be the case, but it is. Other news to pass along to you very quickly on this Monday afternoon. Aztec basketball did not get ranked today. They're not happy. Aztec fans, despite a phenomenal showing to kick off the season over the Thanksgiving holiday, Aztecs 2-0 with wins over UCLA and UC Irvine, do not jump into the AP Top 25 today. They are also receiving votes 27th in terms of the number of votes that they have received. But Matt Mitchell was named the Mountain West Conference Player of the Week. We congratulate him. And on the women's side at San Diego State, Sophia Ramos won the same honor. So both win there. We congratulate both of them on those awards. Aztec football comes up very short, really, at Colorado. They only lost 20-10. That's a testament to their guts to hang in there and make a game of it, despite the fact offensively they had nothing going. Brady Hoke said today that he's hopeful that quarterback Lucas Johnson and running back Greg Ball will be back next week when they play Colorado State, if they get to play Colorado State. I think you have to almost put an if with just about everything now. Mm-hmm. Sarah Fuller became the first female to play in a Power 5 college football game, kicking off for Vanderbilt in their game on Saturday against Missouri. That was quite newsworthy and a fantastic achievement for her. Some other quick news to pass along to you. The Farmers Insurance Golf Open in San Diego, California, scheduled for January 28th through 31st, but no fans. Scrappy, you're going to have to find something else to do.
I don't know what to do.
I know.
I really hope they got this thing figured out for the U.S. Open that's coming here in June of 2021, because you have to have fans at Torrey Pines for the U.S. Open.
Well, you didn't have them for the Masters. I mean, why do you have to have them for the U.S. Open?
Because it's here. And I've been waiting almost 10
years. I'm not disagreeing with you. I want it all to end. I want it all to be over. But it's all going to be a matter of time here. And it's getting more complicated by the minute, unfortunately. So we'll just have to see where it all goes. All right. Normally we play Chris versus the fans in the 4 o'clock segment, but not on Mondays because of the short show. However, all month long, we have been qualifying listeners and winners of Chris versus the fans for our Gwen and Chris Vegas vacation. The trip to Las Vegas, which includes the dinner at Benihana and also includes the dinner at the great
Fresco Italiano.
Fresco Italiano.
It's not on that sheet.
It's not on the sheet, so I'm never going to find it.
It's a new one on the sheet. All right. I knew where you're going with that.
Yeah, well, thank you for covering for me. And also the two-night stay at the, is it the Westgate?
Yes, Westgate
Las Vegas Hotel.
Resort. Yes.
But we don't have a qualifier today because we have our winner to announce today. Scraby, are you ready for the honors?
I am ready for the honors. The winner of the Gwen and Chris November Las Vegas Vacation Giveaway is William Calgill of San Diego.
All right.
You are the winner. You don't have to do anything because we're going to contact you. I believe they probably have already contacted you. But
William's jumping up and down in the living room.
You know, I remember William. William, yes.
And was he a winner on Chris versus the fans, or did he qualify in another manner?
He called in for Chris versus the fans, but it was one of those days that you rolled through everyone.
Right.
And I said, we're out of time.
One of those many days where I just roll through everybody.
True. Many days.
Yes, of
course. He's not trying to brag or anything. It's true. It was one of those where I just was like, all right, I'm just going to pick one, and it's you. And they ended up with the Vegas vacation because of that.
Oh, William is in. So William got lucky in a couple of different respects.
Yes.
There.
Good job, William.
So 2020 is not a horrible year for everybody. William Calgill, congratulations. Luck has shined on you. Now, if you didn't win the big Vegas getaway for November, don't worry. We're going to have another chance to win starting tomorrow.
Yes.
We're going to be qualifying listeners for our December trip. The grand prize will be a private VIP pod at the Westgate Superbook, the largest superbook in the world.
Awesome.
Really? Like, can they make that claim that they're the largest superbook in the world? Like, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with them. I'm just saying.
I was about to say, this is a weird thing.
Have they checked Dubai?
I was thinking Dubai.
Have they checked Tokyo? Have they checked every superbook in the entire world? $250 food and beverage credit, a two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. It's legendary Vegas fun. You must be at least 21 in order to win that prize, and we will start qualifying listeners for that prize during Chris versus the Fans tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Did you spend the $50 to see Tyson and Roy Jones Jr.?
I definitely did not spend that money. Well, it kind of, after I found out that Mike Tyson admitted that he smoked marijuana before the fight, I kind of wanted to watch
legal.
The fight. No, it's fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with
it. It's a legal thing to do. It's a good fight preparation.
It's a little weird.
Item.
It's a little weird. But if that's what Mike needs to not knock someone out.
Mike Tyson likes to go into the ring and be hungry.
Yeah, that's true. I get where you're going.
Yes,
with that.
There's a two-pronged explanation for that.
The one big thing I took from this whole thing is that Nate Robinson is not a boxer because he got knocked out by YouTuber Jake Paul.
Frankly, he was okay. He says he was okay. Although I saw Irvin Magic Johnson tweet out that he was praying for Nate Robinson.
I think it was more of a joke.
Oh, okay.
I hope so.
Yeah, I don't know. He got knocked face down and out in his preliminary bout, the former slam dunk champion of the NBA.
He's 5'9". He was taking on a YouTuber.
Yeah, he was taking on a guy, another celebrity type.
He's not celebrity.
D-lister.
Yeah,
I said D-lister. D-lister.
Thank you.
D-lister. But Tyson and Roy Jones Jr., I will give them credit. They did make it through the 8 2-minute rounds.
Yeah,
I did not think they would be able to do. And Mike Tyson has had some sort of epiphany. I mean, they asked him after the fight what he thought about it all, and he goes, "Hey, this is great, man. I was out there. We were able to raise a bunch of money for charity." I'm like, who's this speaking? Who is this?
It's
the new Mike Tyson.
It's the marijuana smoking.
He's in a good, happy mood.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, so yes, there was a little boxing over the weekend for the people that were wondering about that. The other news of the day, too, I forgot to mention Will Fuller, the Houston Texans wide receiver who dominated on Thanksgiving Day against Detroit, has been suspended 6 games under the league's PED policy. Matt Nagy's in the news today.
Oh, gosh.
Scrape.
Oh, gosh. What did he say now?
Says that his team needs to wake up and have some personal pride.
I'm sorry?
Yes, in the wake of their blowout loss to the Green Bay Packers. I know this, Nagy said Monday, we better wake our tails up. Every freaking coach on the staff, every player better wake up and start understanding where we're at. Have some personal pride. So at least he did include the coaches on the staff.
I'm stunned by that.
In the second part
of
that.
But not him.
Oh, no. He's fine. Matt Nagy's an outstanding. He's the same guy that was 5-1. Just happened to lose 5 in a row. The Bears are having a potentially disastrous season. I think they're going to wind up at 5-11. I really do. I don't know that they're going to
lose out.
Game.
Oh, you know, Tariq Cohen, who was on the team earlier this year, he went out with, I believe, a torn ACL. He tweeted out that he thought they would be better if he didn't watch. And they weren't better.
That didn't work out too well.
But the real story there is that their own player won't even watch their games. That tells me everything I need to know about that coach. He doesn't have his back. Tariq Cohen doesn't have his coach's back.
Well, I don't think Matt Nagy has the back of any player on his team.
Exactly.
I mean, I think that's kind of what we've been discussing for a long, long time.
And Mitch Trubisky last night, he looked nervous to make a turnover, to commit a turnover, because he knew what was going to happen. He's going to get to the sideline. He's going to have one of those long talks with Matt Nagy about how he needs to hold on to the ball, and he's going to threaten his job. And that's just why he played the way he did. He played tentative.
I don't think team players can play well when they don't think their coach has their back, and I think that is definitely the case in Chicago. By the way, if you're waiting for the news flash that Anthony Lynn has been fired as head coach of the used to be San Diego Chargers. Keep waiting.
This is breaking
news. Nothing's happened. He's fine. Nothing has happened today. Anthony Lynn continues to keep his job despite an embarrassment. Several embarrassments. I mean, their clock management has been mediocre to poor all season long. And then yesterday, in the final minute of the game, what in the world the Chargers were doing there after they completed that Hail Mary pass and they were down on the 5-yard line with about 30 seconds to go. And then they ran the ball with no timeouts. And then they plunged the ball with no timeouts. Then they finally threw a pass. Then there were 3 seconds left. Then they brought the field goal team out. Then they took the field goal team off. Then they ran a quarterback sneak. I mean, it was laughable. It was actually better than most television comedies. But Anthony Lynn has had some issues with clock management. And it was interesting, they asked Joey Bosa about this after the game.
I haven't heard this.
I didn't know if you heard this.
No.
Joey Bosa, who, by the way, in a loss, had one of the better games any defensive lineman has had in recent memory.
Interesting.
He had 3 sacks, 6 tackles for losses.
Dang, I didn't know this.
In one game yesterday.
I didn't watch the game.
Yeah, he went absolutely crazy and just tore up the Buffalo Bills, but it wasn't enough. But they asked Joey Bosa after the game about some of the coaching, you know, clock management, etc. And Joey Bosa said, they're above, that's, those guys are on another level above. Don't ask me. Wait a minute. I don't like this question. I'm not going to answer it. Well, I think what he first basically said that, you know, those guys are, that's not my, you know, that's not my thing to have. That's not my pay grade. I'm not around to worry about that.
That basically means I don't want to say anything because I'll get in trouble.
But then he realized he might say something that would get him in trouble. So he quickly said, no, I don't like that question. I'm not going to answer it.
It's a good job covering yourself.
Well, you got to cover yourself when you're going to be critical of your coach.
Oh, wait. I don't have opinions.
Look, I think players are very well aware of the fact when clock management is poor.
Yes,
I mean,
they are.
I think they are. And when they get a sense that the coaching staff is confused and doesn't have a good feel for what's going on, it definitely trickles down a little bit. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll check some traffic, come back. I have something to rant about when we return.
It's amazing.
It's off the sports page, but it'll still be fun. We'll get into that when we return. Stick around. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Hanging in there today as Tony Gwynn Jr. is off for the day, and Monday Night Football coming up at the bottom of the hour. All right, 4:21 is the time. We got a few minutes left here. This hour brought to you by San Diego County BMW Centers. Hurry into the BMW Road Home Sales Event. Receive a credit of up to $3,500 on select models ending today. Contact the San Diego County BMW Center today. Contact them right now. Details or visit sdcountybmw.com. We're going to have plenty more time on the program tomorrow. Full 4 hours beginning at 3:00. Chris Ello and Matt Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr. off today. We'll have more time to talk Padres tomorrow. We didn't get in any Padres stuff today. Kevin Acey, for one, beat writer, San Diego Union Tribune, writing this afternoon online that the deadline to tender contract to players under team control is Wednesday at 5 p.m. So that's coming up in about 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And suggesting, not saying it's going to happen, but suggesting, or at least pointing out the fact that it's possible the Padres might not tender a contract to outfielder Tommy Pham, who is likely due about $10 million in his final year of arbitration. Didn't say that's the case, but the Padres will be looking to, you know, I don't want to say save money, but at least spend money wisely this offseason. The other story that's out today is that Yadier Molina has said in a recent interview that the Padres are among 5 suitors for his services. So, you know, are you going to get Yadier Molina? How are you going to have enough money to sign him if you're going to get him? We'll talk about all this stuff tomorrow and whether or not you'd want to cut loose Tommy Pham. Of course, Tommy Pham comes with him, the incident at the strip club, for which he has now filed a lawsuit against the strip club. And we can discuss all of that on the program tomorrow. What was that? Was that the Tennessee Titan announcer again?
No, that was the Seahawks guy not knowing which guy to call. But that's kind of like one of those things when you hear about all of that, you're kind of like, ugh.
It's a lot of information to digest. So we'll try to break it all down for you tomorrow on the program. Aztec basketball fans are upset. Rightly so. Aztecs probably should be ranked this week. They're not. But if you want them ranked, You really want to root for UNLV tonight, and I know that is almost impossible for Aztec fans to think about, but UNLV is playing North Carolina tonight in a Maui Invitational game. UNLV's leading 16-7. It's early in the game, but I'm bringing that up because a UNLV win over North Carolina would boost the entire Mountain West Conference, which needs a boost, and that would be helpful to the Aztecs. So just something to keep an eye on. All right, here's my quick rant.
Yes.
I got 2 minutes for this.
Yes.
First things first, my friend Scott and his lovely wife Suzette bought a new house, and I'm going to tell you right off the bat, it is really nice. We went over there last night, and my wife and I got the tour. Oh, stop it. It was four people. Anyway, got the tour, and I was just thinking as I was taking the tour of the new house that as somebody who's taken a lot of tours of new houses, and you out there, I'm sure, have all taken a tour of somebody else's new house or
yes.
new apartment or new condo or new surroundings.
Dwelling.
Whatever it is. As a tourist in that situation, you have absolutely no options. You only can respond in one way, and that is to say, oh, wow, that's fantastic.
Look at that.
I love that. Oh, I love what wow. you did with this
wow.
room. That is great.
Wow.
And then they tell you, well, you know, we've done a little work in this room. This is fantastic. Wow, this looks great. Oh, look at that walk-in closet. That is amazing. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like. Do you know what I'm saying? That's my rant.
I do.
You don't have a choice. If you're a tourist taking a tour of somebody else's new house, you absolutely have to love it. You don't have a choice. You can't say, yeah, I don't know. This place not working for me.
I would have chosen a different color on that.
I would not have done this to the game room.
I didn't know that when my friend and his wife bought their first house. And
did you say something negative?
They asked me, what do you think of this color? And I said, I would have chosen a different color.
Oh, that's not an option.
But you know what? When I left that house, my friend got an earful from his wife about how I didn't know what I was talking about.
Not an option, man. Whenever you take the tour of a new house, you have to love it. But I will say I did love their house. So in this case, I didn't have to fake any of my answers. It's kind of like if you meet somebody's new baby.
Ooh, yeah, that's a tough one.
Pretty much the same thing.
I wouldn't go that
Always got to be the cutest little baby you've ever seen in your life. Love that kid.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. You can't say anything differently.
That you can't.
No
Even
options.
Even I know that.
No options. All right, you have no option but to stay here and listen to Monday Night Football. It's coming up next, the Seattle Seahawks and the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm Chris Ello. Thanks for tuning in today to our short program. Full 4 hours tomorrow starts at 3 o'clock. For Tony Gwynn Jr. and Matt Scraby, enjoy the rest of your Monday night, everybody, on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.